Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Jackie Lappin. She's a passionate photographer, history buff and frequent traveller. She's the author of the Historic Traveller blog, where she shares her passion twice weekly with highlights from the more than 500 localities she's visited and photographed. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
I'm delighted to be here, Hannah. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. I'm really excited to hear more about your travels and interested to know whether your love of travel or history came first. Can you remember?
Well, probably history, because I think I got hooked going to the California missions as a fourth grader. And then it just grew and grew, and I minored in it in college. And then I got to travel when I started into my post-college years, and I was just able to focus on the historic localities when I did.
Oh, great. So as soon as you started traveling, you were focused on looking at historic places, were you?
I was, but I've also been an absolute crazy lover of historic novels and history books, too, to kind of illuminate that the era, make you feel as if you live there. So I ended up incorporating that into everything that I do. Before I would go traveling, I'd go read a book, both probably historic and a guidebook and a history book. And now that's what I build into the blog. That's what makes it really a unique blog. It's not just beautiful pictures from all over the place and storytelling, but it's also the books that I recommend. There's 7,500 books in our database over at the Historic Traveler.
Gosh, amazing. So how do you find time to read? I mean, how much are you reading on a daily, weekly basis?
I probably read at least one or two books a week, just because I love, you know, that's my leisure time. I've been single my whole life, and so I don't have a family, and to do all the things that requires, I dig into a book.
Oh, wonderful. And how do you decide what book you're going to read? Do you get recommendations yourself, or do you do some research online?
A little bit of all of that, but I also like to haunt used bookstores, and that'll get me hooked on it. But I'm also on Audible. So, I'm fed different kinds of books. You know, you might like this one, you might like this one. And so I'm always expanding, but I love series that really are illuminating history, either a historic novel or a historic mystery. So it makes you, I learn a lot of my history, and this really comes into play when I travel from these books that I read that are historic, you know, novels. They're not even factual books, but a lot of them are about real people. But so I actually am able to connect the dots about the history of a place from the books I've read.
Yeah. So can you think of the place where you've been to that kind of took you back furthest in history?
Oh, well, certainly I had a chance to go to the caves in France where the historic drawings are. And that was really kind of fun. But, you know, all kinds of different looks. Like, for example, I love Bruges, Belgium, which is like a mini Amsterdam that was never destroyed because it kind of was a backwater. And so you walk right into history when you go to Bruges with the canals and the tall buildings that were the merchants. I look for places like that where you're walking into history. And that's what I cover in the Historic Traveler, is blogs about those kinds of places where you can immerse yourself in history and feel like you were there.
Yeah. And have you seen a lot of the United States and the history around there, or do you like to go further afield?
Well, I think my favorite is Europe and the UK, but I also love the US. I've seen every major US historic city with the exception of Savannah, which is on my list. but I've managed to make all of those. And then a year and a half ago, I did a bucket list trip to Europe and went for 9 weeks, going to all the historic, beautiful cities and villages that I had not seen that I had wanted to. And so there's still plenty more, but that got me the highlights.
Oh, how wonderful. What were some of your highlights from that trip?
Prague, A lot of wonderful little towns in France, Albi, Avignon, Annecy. Dubrovnik's amazing, Lucerne, Verona, Pisa, Genoa. I mean, I just loved the opportunity to indulge myself in the world of the past. You know, for when you go to Milan, for example, you can actually see the canals that the Da Vinci created for the Sforza family, and that now are, you know, incredibly great places to dine for dinner. And these are canals that he basically created right there in front of you. So I could go see the Last Supper, but this was something practical that people lived.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? When you think of the size of let's just say Central Europe, similar-ish size to the United States of America, and all the different places that you can visit in Europe and how different they are, even within one country, never mind from one country to another. It's wonderful to be able to travel and see it all.
It's extraordinary. And, you know, some of it's cities, some of it's villages or smaller towns, but you've also got unique landmarks. Like, for example, you have a three-decker Roman aqueduct in the middle of France, the largest in the world. So there's landmarks in different places. I went to the world's longest continuously operating hospital that started back in, you know, the Middle Ages. So there's unique places everywhere you go that have a story to tell.
Yeah. I have to ask you about Spain, because we're based in Spain. What have you seen and enjoyed in Spain?
Well, Barcelona. I started in Barcelona, which was fantastic. Then to Madrid, Segovia, which is one of my all-time favorite places. Sevilla, Granada, Cordoba, Toledo, all of them are amazing, amazing cities. And they will be, Salamanca, that's one of my other favorites. These will be showing up in my blog over the next, couple of months. I think Salamanca is coming up very soon.
Great. And how are you with food? Do you like to taste the local foods in all the different places you travel to?
I do, but I especially like to experience them in historic restaurants, something that has the ambience of history. So I see if I can find something that has both of that.
Oh, nice. So you like to look up like the oldest restaurant in the place that you've been to, things like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, nice. And have you been to any places around the world that you were maybe a little bit disappointed in? Places that you'd seen online that had amazing reviews and you thought, oh, I really have to visit this place. And then you get there and it's not as great as you imagined.
There have been a couple of places. Zagreb is a nice town in Croatia, but it's not as spectacular as Dubrovnik. And I would have probably switched for Split, which has an old palace from Roman times. It was a nice city, but it was a newer city, so to speak.
Yeah.
With mostly Habsburg buildings, which were great and they were fantastic, but it didn't give me the umph that some other places would.
Yeah. And I bet weather has affected your travels a lot of the time. You know, if you go to a beautiful place, but it's pouring down with rain, not only do the photographs not look as nice, but also it's not as much fun, I guess.
Well, and you're right. And that's the biggest thing for me as a photographer. You know, I've got over 40,000 images in my database that I am picking and choosing for each of the blogs. And by the way, we have a photo gallery also at the Historic Traveler. And so if you love the photos, you can explore more. And I'm just downloading right now some stuff that I did in Alaska, and much of my trip didn't give me the kinds of photos I wanted because the weather wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm looking at this and thinking, oh, and, you know, 2 weeks in a country and I only had three nice days. So, in a place. And so that's a little bit disappointing, but I still found something interesting. I found all these really interesting habitats where people lived. some of them historic, but some of them very clearly, weirdly Alaskan that you would find nowhere else. So I will focus on that, even though I don't have the beautiful blue skies that I'd like to have in an image. So, but I want to also mention that you can go to the blog at the Historic Traveler and sign the guest book. And then I'll send you reminders of blogs that you might have missed. And so if you see something you like, then you can just pop in and visit that particular blog.
Yeah, it's a great idea. What made you decide to put the blog together as opposed to writing a book, perhaps?
I think because of the photographs, because I really wanted to share my images. And that's really the best way to do it. Well, I have a membership program too, and I have a magazine called the Historic Traveler Magazine. The first half of the magazine is destinations. The second half of the magazine is media. It's all the books and TV and historic TV dramas that, you know, it make you feel as if you lived it. And so, you know, the magazine also gives me an opportunity to share different localities and the images. So between the blog and the magazine, it really lets me take you there so that you experience in that way. You know, books are one thing, but you really can't do them economically with a lot of images.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And with all the books that you've read and places that you've visited, is there a particular time period in history that you wish or would have liked to have been around in?
Well, I think I have a strong pull to medieval England and Renaissance times. And I think some part of me feels like I lived that in previous lifetimes.
Yeah.
There's just this real connection to the places and the time period and the stories and the people. I mean, for me, history is the people who made history. You know, you can't make up Henry VIII or Catherine, de Medici. I mean, these people were extraordinary. Now, some of them were not the nicest people, but I also, one of the things I do in my, in the magazine is I feature a sovereign every month, and I try to pick people that stood out for their good qualities and not necessarily their Machiavellian qualities. I'm interested in people who made history, not just what happened in history.
Yeah, I think that can make a huge difference in terms of people who are passionate about history and what their history teacher was like or the way history was taught at school. I remember not being interested in history as a child because the history teacher just would put dates on the board and you had to learn the dates of all the different battles and wars. And I just remember thinking of a child, well, who cares? You know, does it matter? It's already been and gone and it doesn't affect me and my family's life now. But then when you get a history teacher that's so passionate about the people of history and tells you stories about the different people affected by the war and things like that, it brings it all to life that much more and makes it something that you can relate to, even though it happened hundreds of years ago.
I was privileged in college to have had one of the two leading California historians as one of my instructors. And he was incredibly theatrical, but he would go into the archives in the Maritime Archives in England and come back with these incredible stories that really hadn't been published anywhere else. And so you are sitting on the edge of your seat or laughing hysterically at people's foibles. And you just really, it brought it to life. And I think that he really fueled a lot of my love of history.
Yeah, fantastic. And when's your next trip? Have you got a trip planned?
My intention is to hit Turkey and Egypt in the springtime. And I'm hoping that with our community, I'll be able to invite people to come along on that trip.
Oh, fabulous. And are there any big chunks, big parts of the world that you haven't been to?
I haven't been to South America, and I'd like to do more of South America. That would be the one area that I think I've overlooked, and just because my opportunities have been elsewhere. But it's definitely on my intention to get there. One of the things is when we were developing, we have a directory of historic novels, mysteries, and history books by country or locality. So you can pick a city, you can pick a country and read before you go, or if you just love that particular literature. But I did not overlook South America because I know, you know, every continent, every country is important because it's going to find its audience.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if people want to have a look at your fantastic website and blog, just tell people where to go.
Simply go to thehistorictraveler.com. And check in and become and take advantage of the sign in for the blog. And if you're interested in becoming a member, we'd love to have you so that we can bring way more of this to you.
Oh, great stuff. It's been lovely to have you with us on the show, Jackie Lapin. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah. This has been great fun.